going to do a short presentation. Over to you, Hannah.
Well, hello, everybody. It's great to see so many eager faces. And I'd just like to thank everybody for joining us online this evening. It's for my benefit that you're doing that because I'm here in sunny Staffordshire. So I haven't travelled to you. So apologies, you're in charge of all your own catering for this evening session. My name's Hannah and I am the planner who's helping the parish council prepare the neighbourhood plan. And this is the new neighbourhood plan that will supersede the one that you've got currently in place. What we're going to do this evening is have a really short session. This is for you to have the discussion with us about what's happening at the moment around the growth strategy and what are the next steps. So as we move through this evening, if you've got any questions, I'd like to try and take them as they're fresh in your mind. So do feel free to unmute yourselves and either gesticulate and give me a good wave if you've got your video on, or just shout and jump in and I will try and answer them as we move along. But our housing growth strategy at the moment is based on the neighbourhood plan period. That's going to be 2023, we're hoping, till 2041. So that's the thing to bear in mind this evening when we're having the discussions. We're thinking about this growth up until 2041. Now, the Parish Council has had support from central government through the locality programme, and they had a housing needs assessment prepared, which was very specific to what is the need of Edith Weston Parish till 2041. And so out of that assessment, it tells us the type of houses that we need, the level of growth, what's been happening. But in there, there's a really key figure. And that told us that actually, to remain sustainable and to keep ticking along, our actual need is 21 as a community. So that's one of the magic figures that I want you to have in your mind. So that is an independent housing needs assessment on the government methodology that says, what does our parish need? Now, alongside that, Rutland County Council, as you know, we're preparing an local plan and they're reviewing that process at the moment, and they've given an indicative figure of 51 for the parish. Now, the reason why you've got a difference here is they're thinking about the growth and how do they distribute it across the entire county. So although as a community to keep functioning, we only need the magic number of 21, Rutland are giving us the figure of 51. So this is the figure that we need to plan towards. So 51. So you can see the range, can't you? So that is the upper figure of 51 and 21 is the lower figure. Is everybody clear on the numbers? That's the hard part over. Great. So what does that mean now for us as planners? Because that's what we're all doing as community. Everybody see the thick black lines all okay? Give me a thumbs up if you can see the lines okay on this plan. Great, okay. So these are known as the planned limits of development. Settlement boundaries, and this thick black line is really important because all of the local plan policy and the neighbourhood plan policies at the moment say growth should be focused inside these boundaries, so inside the planned limits of development. So as you can see, our problem is we've got to think about around 51 units and how do we fit that in amongst those spaces. Now, it's very difficult to see it on these greyed out things. What I always like to do is look at it in real terms. So this is us. Look how lush and green we are. What a fantastic place, Edith Weston. And immediately, the two things that strike you are, look at the agricultural land and look at the trees. So you can see there's little pockets of development all set in this green expanse. So you think those black lines are marked on there. So you can tell actually straight away that there's not a great deal of capacity to deliver 51 units within those black lines. Also, really importantly, is the Emerging Neighbourhood Plan has identified additional local green spaces, and it's looking at special policies for the planned estates, for the military estates, to protect them and their character. So some of the green that you see is actually going to be a local green space. So we don't want to conflict with our own policy because we're trying to protect those important green spaces to our community. So you can see that is the issue that we're facing. We've got an indicative number of 51 that we need to work towards. And it's how do we think, where would that capacity be delivered up until 2041? The good thing about working with RCC and that number is we give certainty to where growth is going to go. Every neighbourhood plan is like a maths exam. You have to show your working out as well as your answer. And if you can do that, it helps you bat away speculative development and it helps you to focus development in the places that you do want it. So that is what we're all doing, is problem solving through the policy in the neighbourhood plan. So one of the options that we wanted to explore with you is the capacity for growth. And this is something that the Parish Council have commissioned now. There's a report that I'll be working on to look at what is the capacity, first of all, in the planned limits of development, what would small scale infill potentially deliver, and then what would be our shortfall. So this is going to give us a figure. Now, one thing that the neighbourhood plan could do is it could make a site allocation, which is a very lengthy process to go through because you have to do a call for sites, you have to assess all the sites, and then you have to go through further consultation when you've preferred and got your preferred site, and then it's how do you sieve out the others, and then you have to take it through other roles of consultation throughout the neighbourhood plan process. An alternative which you could explore is looking at brownfield sites. And I know, did any of you join online last Monday? I certainly did. Or did you go to the workshops that have been delivered on the officers' mess recently? Give me a wave if you've participated in those fun things. Great. So some of you have been there. So we know that on the outside of the Edith West and what I call the core, the historic settlement, on the opposite side of the road, we've got the officers' mess site. And this red line shows the red line roughly what they're proposing as their planning application that is going to be coming forward as we understand it. Now, you could say this is a brownfield site and it's going to be subject to an application, but we don't know how that is going to fare. We're not preempting whether it's going to get permission or not. But you could say, given that that site is going to be a brownfield, you could write a clause into your neighbourhood plan that promotes a brownfield redevelopment opportunity, which could be a site like this. Now, certainly a site of this area would deliver on its own the 51 capacity. But what it doesn't take into consideration is what are the environmental constraints or design guidance. Now, do you remember I said about certainty? The opportunity for the neighbourhood plan is if you said our housing is going to be within the planned limits of development, it's going to be small scale infill. And by small scale, we mean two or three houses in existing built frontages, that sort of size. And then you might promote a brownfield site, something like this. Then you are saying only development in these places, and it gives you the chance to bat away anything else that might come in speculatively. What you could do then is if you have got a site like this, is then you can pick up on what are the constraints and what are the opportunities. And this lovely diagram is actually come out of a design code that was prepared for part of the neighbourhood plan that we're working on at the moment. And external consultants looked at what do you have. So it picked on all the important things that we know, the established hedgerows, the mature trees that are on the main routes, where the buildings are, that there are mature trees within the site. And actually, because of the topography, it's not a clear and level site. It actually slopes away. So there's huge opportunities. One, looking back towards the village and what would be that visual impact. And equally from within the site, looking out. And then, of course, we've got on there, they also picked up that there was a previous public right of way. So they're showing those sort of links. Now, in a neighbourhood plan, it is possible to write policy to make sure that all those elements are picked up, regardless of what a design of a scheme would look like. So why is it important to think about writing policies for sites? Well, what you're doing is you're setting the planning rules. Whilst we can't say only 10 houses or only 30 houses or only 51 houses on that site, we can say these are the rules. So these are the things that you have to consider and you have to demonstrate when you're designing that site. So this is the opportunity that you need to explore as a community, that you've got a potential figure of 51. It is looking like there isn't capacity. We're 99.9% sure, not within the planned limits of development. So how else do you positively plan for that growth and say where it is so that you can protect the things that you want to and steer development in the right direction? So where do you want it? So one of those ways that you could explore is to actually take forward a brownfield site. Rather than a site allocation, you're just supporting something there. So that's what I wanted to bring to everybody's attention tonight. So that's what the parish council are working with, and all community feedback's really important on this, because this is where you all live. So it's important that anything that you do put into the neighbourhood plan works and functions. You know, nothing's going to come out as a curveball. It's an open discussion about that. In parallel, the parish council are talking to RCC, because as some of you might know, if you're into the exciting world like me as a planner, you'll know that they've just put out some consultation that's just recently closed on site allocation. So the local plan in parallel is also considering site allocation. So you could, as another option, say, well, actually, we'll leave it up to RCC to decide where the remainder of our 51 goes. But of course, that's a high risk strategy. It's like rolling the dice. You have less control over it than if you plan as a community yourselves. And also, it's harder to write briefs and things for a site that's not in your control. So you could say to them, we will deliver with an allocation by supporting something like a brownfield site, and therefore there is no need, and that's what the community can make in their representations through the local plan process, to put any further strategic allocations here, because our magic number of 51 is delivered by planned limits of development, small scale infill, and if there was a brownfield site that you wanted to support. Okay, so that is the tough bit of the evening. And does anybody have any questions on that?
I'd like to ask a question. Do we have any way of contesting those 51 houses that Rutland are putting forward? Why do we have to accept their figure?
That's a really good question. So the neighbourhood plan could remain silent on the figure and proceed only with what's in your housing needs assessment. But then you run the risk at a later stage of somebody coming in and delivering something without you having that say. So you're not giving certainty. And when the local plan comes in, and if it's got that 51 in there, it will supersede the neighbourhood plan policy. So immediately the neighbourhood plan and its evidence base will be behind the adopted local plan as it moves forward to those later stages. So what you want to do is give certainty. I would always recommend working with the figure that you know is coming forward if you want to have a say exactly where things are going. If you are more relaxed about things and you would just like to leave it to the local authority, then that's what you can do. And you could say, actually, we don't want to look at identifying any other potential growth strategy other than within the planned limits of development and our small scale infill, and we'll see how it comes forward. So it really varies across the board, and that is down to each community's personal choice.
Thank you.
So, John Donaldson here. Can I just ask a question?
Of course.
I've got some feedback, I think. Given the fact that the officer's mess site at the moment is relatively unsightly. Do you believe that supporting some development there makes sense in your professional opinion?
It's a really good question, that, John. Having lived on the other side of the valley in Collie Weston when I started off as a very junior planner here in the county, I know how beautiful it is in that area. It is a brownfield site, so I know that national planning policy promotes brownfield sites first above greenfield or previously undeveloped land. So I would perceive in 10, 15 years' time that there would have been some form of development on that site. So I would say if I lived there, I would rather try and inform what would happen than wait and then be on the back foot responding to an application. So let's give you a for instance. If the site continues as they are proposing the MOD and they go for an outline application and they get permission, and so it often deals with just things like access and then the indicative numbers. If the neighbourhood plan is at a late stage, you will have potentially design policies that will then influence the reserve matters application. Equally, let's say I came along and I bought it tomorrow and I got planning permission in, and that was all achieved before we had even reached a late stage. If planning lapsed on the site, then if a new application came in, it would all be tested against the made neighbourhood plan policy because we would have moved through those final stages by that. But that's something to also consider.
But is there, I mean, if this goes ahead, the outline planning permission is applied for, and let's say they go for 70 houses, could our neighbourhood plan say, well, you know, we've achieved the more than 50 odd, so that's it. We've done, you know, that's our neighbourhood plan done because we support this development.
What the neighbourhood plan can do is use its evidence base to say, actually, we only need 21. And these are the type of mix, so yeah, you don't need to develop all of the site. And actually, even at our upper figure, we're 51. Now, whether that's still viable for a developer or not is another matter. So the neighbourhood plan policy, like I said, it, unfortunately, one of the limitations are it cannot restrict the number on the site. It doesn't get into that. But what it can do is flag up the context. And the example that I always give to groups is if I gave you a square and said, this is our field, we're going to deliver 20 houses here. And I ask you to start drawing them. Most people start to draw little boxes, little cul-de-sacs. And I always draw a very small box at the corner. Everybody says, well, what's that? And I say, well, it's 20 stories high with a penthouse at the top and they're two bedroom apartments, one on each floor. So actually the figures is a bit of a non-starter. What you need to think about is how do things structure? What's the character? You know, we've got verges. What's the degree of setback? It's parking on the plot. Then that's going to start to determine the numbers because it's the design and the character. And that's what the neighbourhood plan policies are looking at is, you know, what is the design? What is the character of the area? And that's what you want. So if you think about the planned estates, what have they got on there? Some of them have got over 100 units and we're talking a smaller site than some of those. So if you had big front gardens, big rear gardens, like they have big verges where the pavements are and then the road, that really starts to eat into actually how many units that they might actually deliver. So that's why I say that's something to explore because you can write that design policy into that and pick up what are the environmental constraints, things like flooding, things like the mature trees that we've got on site as well as the ones at the edges, because you know they all contribute to that natural environment. And then what would be the design guidance? Equally, you could refurbish the buildings potentially. You know, think of this on the other end of the spectrum. We're saying 51, but if the buildings were viable and they got turned into a 51 bed extra care home, that's 51 units. Mm-hmm. doesn't have to be houses. So this is why I say the numbers thing, you're better off thinking about the type of homes that you need, what is the character, these are the things that can really influence it. Okay. And what happens if it was 52 homes or 49? You know, it's more, how does it fit into the site?
Can I, so I know I'm monopolising the questions, but if outline planning permission was given by RCC, could they argue that this area in the officers' mess was excluded from our requirement for 51 units?
If it gets permission, no, because they've given us the number to work towards, and we would say, and there's an extant permission that delivers that figure. So you might say that's been delivered there, so no need to go for anything, and we just keep it as we've got at the moment, which is in the planned limits. But of course, if that lapses, then we've got that gap where that number comes back into play. I am conscious that you have only got about 6 minutes left on this one, so I'm just going to read, somebody's kindly popped one in the chat. What's the guarantee that the parallel site allocation process doesn't designate extra development spaces on top of the brownfield? I'm sorry, Guy, could you just clarify that? Are you saying if we allocated a space, what happens if some other sites come forward? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, because you stated that there's a, at the same time, there's an allocation process ongoing. So
yeah.
Let's assume this development goes ahead. Can the parallel site or allocation process designate other spaces for extra development on top of the 51?
So you are working in parallel at the same time as the local plan. And what we say is we keep a good dialogue with RCC to avoid disparities, so we don't have that situation. So RCC, if they could see that we were progressing ahead and that's the direction that we're going to go in, it gives them the opportunity to step back from making a site allocation because they know that that's dealt with in the neighbourhood plan. Equally, if they don't think that you've got something there, then they will keep driving that agenda because they've still got those numbers to deliver. Okay, so the last one that I wanted, to move on to is just,
Yeah, I just got one point here. I mean, the thing looks fairly straightforward in that we have a site that can take about 70 houses and we have a laid down requirement of 51. I mean, it's almost no brainer, just say, yeah, fine, tick in the box, move on. The thing that worries most of us here is the elephant in the room, i.e. St. George's Barracks. And it's not so long ago that we were threatened with something like 2,500 houses there, a house the size, a village the size of Uppingham. Now, where does that impact upon this plan?
Great question, Edward. So you and I should do a double act. If you go on the interactive mapping data at the moment from RCC, you will see that part of St. George's Barracks, mostly the airfield, is identified as a potential local wildlife site. It's a candidate for that. So they're recognising that the site actually has a huge biological and natural environment contribution. What you need to do as members of the community and a parish council and a steering group is to make very strong representations to say the level of growth is 51 for our parish and we cater for that in the neighbourhood plan process or small scale site allocations in the local plan. There is no need for a new settlement. We know that the parish council have just made very strong representations on this to say you are not a sustainable location and you must all continue with the same strength that you did before and the same commentary because nothing has changed to move towards a rationale for St. George's Barracks. In fact, things continue to strengthen to make the case why it is not a suitable site. And so you must do that in parallel. And so without trying to rush this too much, the last slide that I just wanted to show you is, here is the fun snakes and ladders picture of all the process that the neighbourhood plan is going through. And so we are in the pink central part, developing the policies and the site proposals and allocations. And then what we will do is once that's drafted, that will go to RCC and they are going to screen the plan, which is the purple box that we see for sustainable environmental appraisal or habitat risk assessment. And if either of those come back, we will have to have some further technical reports to support the neighbourhood plan. If not, we move through the snakes and ladders game to our formal consultation, which we are hoping to do this summer, which is called Regulation 14. And this is 6 weeks where the parish council say, ta-da, this is the draft plan as we believe it. Give us the feedback. And from that, then we will make the modifications and update that plan and make a submission of the draft neighbourhood plan to Rutland County Council. It moves into the bottom beautiful yellow line. And then once we've submitted it, and RCC have run a specific 6 week consultation on meeting the basic conditions, which is known as Regulation 16, the neighbourhood plan starts to carry legal weight, even though we haven't made it to the end of the yellow line. So as we move into independent examination, which we're anticipating will be autumn later on this year, the neighbourhood plan should be carrying legal weight. And so that's a more positive element that I'm trying to finish on, watching the clock hurriedly at 1:25. So it's given you a very quick taste so you can see how the plan's been working, the steering group, user community have been responding, and the parish council have built that part where we've got those draft policies. The last piece in our puzzle now is to decide what are we going to do about this 51 and what would be the most positive approach. And so further conversation needs to be had, and then you need to come up with what is your strategy to move forward. So then you can go and have that consultation together this summer. So I know that it's going to kill us in about a minute. Thank you so much for everybody that's actually come along this evening. The plan is built with everybody as a community coming together, and you are the ones that are shaping this because this is where you live. So it's important that you get it right. And that's why we wanted to start the dialogue. I can just see that I've got one last question. That you're concerned that this is a bit delayed, coming in too late. Well, we are where we are. We've got the numbers now. And so it's more of an opportunity to try and address the issues rather than wait till after Regulation 14, because then it would be too late because your plan would be into the late stages. Whereas now we've got an opportunity to do.